Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Happy Self Podcast, where we talk happiness from both a professional and a personal point of view. I'm Tracy Fox, your host, and for those of you who do not know me, I'm an NYU certified executive life coach. I work with clients all over the world, and I've written 4 books on happiness. Please feel free to reach out to me at my website, tracyfox.net. Along with my co-host, Kara Duncan, we invite you to sit back, laugh, listen, and learn as you discover your happy self. All right, so I thought it would be really fun today, Kara, to talk about Easter, of course, and more specifically, what it means to be a Christian, because a third of the world's population identifies as Christians, and you and I certainly believe that there are benefits to being a Christian. And before we jump in, I'm just gonna start with a quote, because I think it'll help us in this discussion, which says, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car.
I literally thought you were going to say, it doesn't make you a, if you stand in a garage, it doesn't make you a mechanic. I mean, that makes more sense to me, but that's funny either way.
Again, many people go to church, and I'll speak for myself. I used to sit in church. My mother was a minister, and I used to go, and I used to sit there and listen and listen and listen. I had no idea what she was talking about. And so that is my point about you can go to church and not really get any of it. And it wasn't until many years later, I think I was maybe 35 years old, and I got invited to a Bible study. And I was like, I don't think I want to go to a Bible study. Even that seems really over the top and really weird. And a friend of mine was like, yeah, just check it out. And so I went, and that was sort of a turning point for me of learning more about Christianity by getting into the Bible and hearing what people really had, you know, the real true understanding of it, which I was not getting in church for whatever reason. I was hearing it, but I was not getting it.
I mean, look at that. Look at that. From you attending a Bible study that somebody invited you to where you have landed now is just, that's just amazing, right? That's just an amazing transformation and all that you've learned and grown. That's great.
Well, what's even more amazing though is that I sat there for 35 years not getting any of it. And really, and with my own mother being a minister, just like, okay, I'm hearing what you're saying. It's not resonating on any level, any of it.
Right. Right. I think a lot of people feel that way. Certainly. I mean, again, I'm speaking of myself and maybe you're really, a lot of people are listening going, yeah, I get it. And I think it wasn't until I also was much older in my adulthood that I really started to be more curious of sort of putting the story together and really understanding it. You know, my faith has always been very strong and very real to me, but then kind of understanding the other components of it really is kind of brought it together for me, actually. Yeah.
So was it a progress journey for you, or was it like a moment?
Absolutely. Oh, well, I had a moment back in high school where, you know, I really felt like I felt like, wow, this is my moment and I've really accepted Christ. But this, I think faith for me is such a journey, as I think so much in life is. I think it's a continuum, right? I mean, we say this the other week, like, you know, you're constantly growing, developing, changing, growing, hopefully. I mean, that's the beauty of life, is to just continue, right? To continue to grow and learn and change. And I feel that so much this last year, or in the last few years. And again, you know, maybe that's just my old age, but it's a welcome component in my life right now. Just this opportunity to grow and change and learn. And I think, you know, once we stop doing that, you know, ain't too fun anymore.
Well, so again, what we're hoping today is about the benefits of being a Christian. And the reason I started with that quote is because, again, a lot of people who go to church and just hear the stuff, because I coach a lot of people, and they say, you know, the problem, Tracy, is I go and it just seems like it's a bunch of rules and regulations. And if you don't follow them exactly, you're basically in trouble, and God is sort of a punishing God. And that is not what Christianity is all about. There are many benefits to Christianity, which we're going to cover. But a lot of people feel that way. And especially a lot of my friends who grew up in the Catholic Church feel that way, that it was about the nuns smacking them with a ruler on the hand if they didn't do something correct. And so, you know, that there are two different views of Christianity. And we're going with the view that, yeah, there is so that it is about a loving God who wants to have a relationship with you. It's not about regulations.
And as we all know, religion is such a complex, you know, topic for not for one of a better reason, just we all grown up differently. We all have a different belief system built into us already. And then, you know, interpretation, all that stuff. But, you know, for me, you know, everybody who's listening that knows me, I'm a simpleton. And I really mean that, you know, and this is what, how I've explained it to my kids all of my life, all their lives. It was like, you might have doubts. It might not all make sense, but for me, my faith means peace, perspective, comfort, forgiveness, those really important things that I said to them, you know, when you're all alone one day in your life and you're, you know, in your bed alone and you're, you know, feeling either sad or anxious or whatever, you know, who are you going to turn to? And that's what I love about my faith. That is so, it's just with me all the time. And you know, it just engulfs me. And it's just, so that's one of the biggest things it provides for me, you know, and that makes me a very happy person having mine. You know, I don't know truly how people cope through things without some sort of faith.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know.
No, I'm with you. And so the tenet of Christianity is that God loves humanity, but humanity has a tendency to sin, which means to separate themselves from God. And whether that's large or small, our bad behavior or falling short separates you from the love of God. And so therefore, God sent his son to come to earth, not only to show us how to live, but also, most importantly, to die on a cross, which is payment for the sin. And then, you know, the resurrection, which is what Easter is all about, is that he overcame death. And it's we're left with that resurrection power. And that's sort of why so many people, and again, a third of the world's population wants to have a relationship with the Christian church, because it is about forgiveness of sins, deals with all your past sins, forgiveness, and then shows you a way to live in the present moment, which we're going to go over in depth.
Right. And I think, you know, that's the crux of it right there, is the forgiveness of sins. And when you look at it that way, instead of a damning God, but a forgiving God, you know, that's very powerful.
Absolutely. So, you know, I like to look at it as past, present, and future. So the past is God takes care of your past by forgiving all your sins, and not just forgiving them, you know, temporarily, but, you know, there are many scripture quotes that talk about how it's, you know, east is from the west, your sins are forever forgotten. Unlike how we say, well, we'll forgive that person, but we'll never forget type of thing. God isn't like that. He's saying, no, it's gone. There is complete forgiveness when you go to him and ask for forgiveness. So that's a pretty amazing thing.
And there's another really really cool thing about forgiveness. And Tracy, I might be wrong, but I think it was something you said to me years ago when I said, you know, I know God forgives me, but I haven't forgiven myself. And you were like, well, then because you have to forgive yourself because God has forgiven you. And that was really powerful. And I've thought about that many, many a times when I can't seem to forgive myself. And I realized that I need to do that to be aligned with Christ, because he has already forgiven me.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And yes, I'm hoping everybody who's listening is hearing that, because it is a very powerful thing. You absolutely must forgive yourself. It's a command of God because he's forgiven you. So why would you sit around and berate yourself when Almighty God has forgiven you and made it a command? So that's one of the beauties of Christianity, is he lays it all out for you. And there's great freedom in that.
Yes, great freedom. Absolutely.
All right, but here's the thing. So even better than past forgiveness is also that Jesus Christ, you know, is a teacher about how to be in your present life. And one of his great quotes was all about that I have come to give you life, but to give it abundantly. Like, Christ is all about you having this purpose-driven, abundant life. And so that's one of the benefits of being a Christian, is it opens up many possibilities. That you don't stay small, that it's an expanding, right, spirituality and religion.
Yeah, and again, on a simplistic level, like, what does that mean to me? That means having integrity, being honest, being kind, being service to others, being compassionate, You know, I could just keep going, but like those really genuine qualities that I try to, you know, that's how I want to live my life. You know, yes. He shows us, he gives us examples and many, many more. And I think sometimes we all get caught up to is like, I cannot live up to God and Christ. No, we can't, but that is our teacher and that is our guide. And he knows that we're human, thankfully, but it doesn't mean that we can't continue to, you know, look to be better and better. And I think that's, I guess, goes back to what I was saying about continuing to grow and change and learn is key.
Well, and even something, even a level deeper to what you're saying is that, again, Christianity is about, you don't have to do it on your own. It is about when you decide to put your faith in God, there is a promise that he is going to send, right, a counselor, another, who is going to reside in you. So there's actually an exchange. It's a covenant relationship. So you say, I'm going to put my faith in Christ. And then Christ says, and God says, fine, I'm going to send you another, the counselor, which is the Holy Spirit, that is going to reside inside of you, which is going to enable you to live out the Christian life. So when you don't feel like being humble or kind or compassionate, you don't even have to worry about it because you don't have to do it by yourself and by your own strength anymore. The Holy Spirit is within you, residing within you, helping you live out this life. And so that's a very powerful thing too, because you really are no longer alone struggling around. It's that old saying about it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Love that.
Yeah, it's very
powerful. And the Holy Spirit is a whole nother topic. We could literally have, you know, a whole session on the Holy Spirit, which is also something in my adult relationship with God that I have really grown to know and has really become a really big part of my faith. And it's really quite fascinating. But like I said, that's a whole nother podcast.
Just on the Holy Spirit. But as long as people understand that, yeah, one of the benefits of being a Christian is you don't live your life alone anymore. You have the power of God residing within you to live out this life. And it's a hugely powerful thing. So we just want people to really recognize that. It's one of the benefits of being a Christian.
I think, you know what, that's the crux of it right there, that you are not alone. And it goes back to what I was, you know, instilled in my children, like, that is exactly what I was trying to get through to them, that you have always had this relationship. And that's another point I wanted to make. I love thinking about my faith as a relationship, because it really is. You know, I don't just go and beg for this and, you know, I'm praising God, I'm grateful to God, and then I also need, you know, help a lot. But you know what I'm saying? It's a relationship. And I really think of it that way, of a loving relationship where it's a two-way, you know, I'm giving as well.
Absolutely. All right. So that's sort of like key, huge number one, is that you're not living this life alone, that Christ is with you, and you can live out this abundant life with the help of God, who's now residing within you. It's one of the promises of God Almighty. The second one, which I love, and so many people don't think about it, is, you know, again, if I coach on one of the top subjects, it is anxiety, worry and anxiety. Mm. And the Bible is filled with answers for anxiety. And you know, God again gives a command around this, which is be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and he will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. And so why that's important is it's an actual prescription for anxiety. It's laid out. It's like, I'm telling you, the answer is here. Be prayerful, like go to God in prayer, say what it is. Then supplicate. And that means to say, you know more than I do, God. So therefore, I can rely on you to figure this one out. Like, I don't even have to, right? I'm supplicating. I'm saying, you see all things. You're eternal. You got all the power. And then
that's kind of like, is that kind of like humble too? It's kind of like humble.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have the answer for this, which is why I'm all anxious about everything. But you do. So the minute you transfer it back over to God, and then you say, thanks for taking care of it. And quite honestly, that is the answer. And not only is it the answer, then God makes a promise. If you're willing to do this, right, then I'm going to bestow upon you a peace And not just any peace, but a peace that surpasses all understanding. And why does it surpass all understanding? Because when other people are looking at you and your child's just been hit by a car or something, right? And you're peaceful in the midst of that. They're like, what the hell's wrong with you? What are you peaceful about? And you're saying, well, because I believe God's promise, which is there's nothing to be anxious about because he told it to me that I just pray about it. I supplicate and I give thanksgiving. And therefore he has now given me a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to step in here because that is beautiful and real and true. But I know I could line up 10 people and 9.5 of them have, you know, a lot of anxiety, myself included. Having said that, I'm not a worrier, but that's another subject. But we hear these passages like that. And like your example of, you know, something happened to our child. And let's just not forget that you might not feel that immediately, okay? You might go through a lot more feelings before you get to that piece. But the point is the promise is there. And by turning it over, that's where you get your peace, I guess. So be anxious for nothing. But, you know, it's not that easy.
Well, no, it's not easy at all, which is why we all suffer from anxiety. But I will also say of the 10 people that we line up, my guess is 9.5 of them are not doing this prescription, which is first you pray, then you supplicate, and then you give thanksgiving. Most people are not giving thanksgiving when their child is hit by a car. They're saying, what the hell? How did you let this happen, God? There's no thanksgiving involved in that. And he's giving a different prescription. And so again, part of the being a Christian is believing God. And so you're either going to believe this is the prescription or you're not. And I'm saying of the 9.5 lined up, most people are not believing that prescription. And they're not even doing it, much less believing it. Because you don't do what you don't believe.
Yeah.
So,
all right, what's next? Yeah.
The promise. Yep. So another great promise is leave all the judging to God. Oh boy, would we have a better world if we did that?
Mm-hmm. Right?
So that's another promise of being a Christian, that you don't have to go around judging anything. And as a matter of fact, you're not supposed to. And again, as Christ said, right, get the log out of your own eye before you get the speck out of your neighbor's eye. And again, I'm not saying I'm good at any of this either. I'm just saying that there are principles and promises in the Bible about, like, we're not supposed to judge things. We're supposed to leave the judging to God. And can you imagine what a more peaceful and happy life you would have if you weren't running around judging every little thing about everybody else? It would free up a lot of time.
I know. You know, it's so funny because I always think, and even sometimes say, you know, I'm not very judgmental. And then I find myself, you know, passing somebody and going, well, why is she doing that? You know, But, you know, even if I think I'm not judgmental, I think that's a hard one because we all just have an opinion, you know, but I think if you can kind of stop it at a thought and leave it there, but yeah, judgment is a human trait of ours for sure.
And so we're just, you know, making the point that the reason we're even talking about this, one, is because it's Easter, but two, there are many benefits, you know, many, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of benefits to being a Christian. And we're just talking about like 4 or 5 of them today, but they're big ones, right? That you're not alone,
right?
That you can leave the judging to God, that he has a prescription for anxiety, that there's
forgiveness
a promise,
of sin,
right? That, yeah, forgiveness, which is another huge one. And I think there's probably 2 more, which is, you know, all things really are possible. God talks about that a lot too. That all, you know, that you just need faith as small as a mustard seed. And of course, a mustard seed is the tiniest little seed of all, but it grows into this huge tree. Or huge bush. And so again, God is saying, if you could just muster up the tiniest little piece of faith, let me handle the rest. And that's a nice promise too. Like if we're willing to just do our part, and there's so many examples of that throughout the Bible of him just asking us to just take a step of faith and that he'll handle the rest. But often we're just too afraid to even take a step of faith.
You know, that's another point for people who, you know, don't have a faith or don't know how to start. You know, that's just as almost as, and I'm maybe you even heard it, you know, just ask God to come into your life and into your heart. And with that, then you start to plant the seed and then it continues to grow. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's all about planting seeds. And that's good to know for kids too. Like if you want your kids to be more involved, just plant the seed. You don't have to do it all. Just plant the seed.
Right.
And right. It'll grow at its own pace.
Obviously, actions are a great, you know, way to emulate your faith as well.
That too.
Yes. Particularly with your children, I was thinking, but yeah.
And then the last one, I mean, and again, we could go on all day. We're just covering a few here, is assurance, right? There's great assurance when you're a Christian because, you know, it's my favorite verse in the Bible. It's Romans 8:28, but it's all about how all things work for good for those that love God and are called according to his purposes. And what that really means is from the human perspective down here on earth, we see things as tragic or horrible or whatever. But God, again, it's a promise that if you hand it over, because God is God, he can do something good with it. Even if it's meant for evil here, he can turn it around because he's bigger than all this. And he can make it good, even when it wasn't started as good or it doesn't seem good. So there's great assurance in having faith as well.
Yeah, yes, yeah. I was thinking, I just lost it. Oh, sorry. Go on. Keep going.
All right. So, I mean, I think that's the most important one, that by having faith, and that's why, again, so many people are Christians, is because there is an assurance that God will make it for good. So no matter what you're facing today, job loss, a broken marriage, COVID, depression, that if you bring it to God and you stay with it, that God will show you how to make it for good. Now, whether we do it or not, it's another question entirely.
I guess that's where my head was going. I was starting to think, that's where I got distracted. Sorry, I was thinking about, you know, when things don't go well. And, you know, and if you're someone who's listening right now who is in the midst of a crisis, you know, it is very hard to see the good sometimes in a bad situation. But I think the key for me when things aren't going well or in an actual crisis mode is just to open my heart. And I actually said this in my prayers last night, you know, just open my heart and keep me in constant prayer. And that just, there's a gig, my simpleton, you know, death just goes back to giving me peace and it gives me perspective. And I, those two are really the top things for me, that perspective, when you can just, you know, take a breath and tune into God. And there's just this, this perspective that allows you to, okay, things aren't so bad, blah, blah, you know, or not things aren't so bad, but I have this faith. God will see me through. Yeah, it might not be easy. There is no promise. There is no promise that it's not going to be hard. That is not one of the promises. And I was struggling with that for a while. I was like, okay, well, okay. Yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to have disease or accidents or no, that isn't the promise. The promise is that he will love you unconditionally and forgive your sins.
And, right.
Right. You know, have you ever, you know, there's that scripture or say that, you know, God will never give you more than you can handle. I'm like, he doesn't know me too well. I'm not handling this too well, but no, that's it. But anyway.
Well, it's a very easy religion, but it's also a very complex religion because you can't, you know, there's another great saying about you can't just be a hearer of the word. You have to be a doer of the word. And again, It's easy to sit there in church and hear what they're saying and be like, yeah, okay, great. But believing God is another thing entirely. And, you know, believing God and doing it, just like what you said about forgiveness, like you can hear what God says about forgiveness, but doing it is another thing entirely. And I've sat in enough Bible studies to know, even when I was teaching them, how many people were like, yeah, I know that's what God says, but it's not what he meant. And so when he said, you must pray for your enemies and you must forgive them, half the Bible study would look at me like, yeah, he may have meant that then, but he didn't mean it about, you know, the woman who was drunk who ran my child over, or the person who, you know, screwed me over with this. Like everyone isn't, you know what I mean? They're making up their own stuff as they go. And trying to fit it in,
you know, piece it together the way they want. Right.
Right. And so, yeah, it part of it is not just hearing the word, but believing the word and then doing the word. So,
right. I like that. All right. Are you ready for questions or do you have anything else?
Yeah, I have one more thing. So, you know, it covers your past, which is past sin. It, you know, it shows you how to live for today. And then, of course, going forward, the beauty of being a Christian is there is a promise. And I love it, you know, when Christ said that he, when he was, you know, leaving his disciples, and he's like, I am going to the cross. And he was explaining to them, he said, but don't worry, because I will come back for you and I will show you where I'm going and I will take you there. That's pretty comforting as well, that when we die, we're not just going to be adrift at sea, that Jesus Christ promises that he will come back and he will escort us to our next home. And so Christianity covers your past sin. It gives you, you know, a way and a prescription for how to live today, but it also gives you, you know, peace for the future. And let me just quote Christ as opposed to myself here. So he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust God, and but trust also in me, that there is more than enough room in my Father's home. And if it weren't so, I wouldn't tell you this, that I am going to prepare a place for you. And when everything is ready, I will come back and get you so that you will know where I'm going and you can be with me and I will take you there.
That is just so, so beautiful too. That's really lovely.
Yep.
That's a nice way to end that.
So all now, right. Ready for
yeah, no, that was great. I hope, you know, everybody could grasp a little something out of that today. And I've got three questions for us. Christina P. from Palm Beach, Florida, where I've just been. Can you give your best resource to for a better understanding of Christianity?
Well, I'm a big believer in study Bibles. I mean, if you want to start, you know.
That's a great one. Ryrie. It's called a Ryrie. Yeah.
Reading the Bible, forget about it on your own. It's very confusing. It's Shakespearean. It's long passages. And most people don't open their Bibles. They say that every home has like five Bibles and most of them have never been opened because people look at it as a sacred document, but it's just too much to tackle.
Well, you know, too, the New Testament, the wording is so difficult, right? So, you know, I also like, you know, this might be the completely wrong way, but I like starting maybe in the New Testament where things are a little more easily understood. And I always found it a little more relatable, if you will. But I mean, the New Testament is fast. I mean, excuse me, the Old Testament is fascinating, but sometimes those words can get, I'm like, you know, thou, dum, thum, you know, and I'm like, what? You know, so, but yes, a study Bible really helps with that. That was the first Bible I ever received. I think it's called a Ryrie.
There's lots of television ministries right now because people still aren't going to church because of COVID. So, you know, Joyce Meyer is amazing. Charles Stanley, they're very biblically oriented and they really explain things. They break it down like bite-sized pieces. And then I'll give my own book a little, what's the word? Plug.
Kudos.
Kudos. So it's called the Having a Heart for God devotional, the 1 minute Bible study. And again, the entire reason I wrote it was for exactly this, that it's too confusing. And so every day I give a piece of scripture and then an explanation of how you can implement it in your modern day life. Because
And I will plug it away too. It is excellent for just exactly that reason. For me, it's so understandable. You relate it to something in our life that you can put that scripture into our life. And that's key.
Application. And so that's on Amazon if anybody wants to grab that.
It's excellent. Say the name again, Trace.
So it's the Having a Heart for God devotional, 365 days of the 1 minute Bible study. So it's 1 minute of your life every morning where you read a piece of scripture and then it takes you off into the day about how to apply it to your daily life.
Yes, it's excellent. Okay, great. Layla S., Bridgeport, Connecticut. My husband is a total atheist and won't discuss anything with me. Do you have any thoughts on how I could get him interested in faith at this time?
Take it away, Kara.
Well, I haven't thought, but I'm just thinking like, you know, I have come across people who don't have any faith. I guess atheist means no faith, you know, don't believe in anything, right? Anything higher. It's a tough one. For me, if this comes into my, I would just probably do exactly what I've already shared with you. Like, I would just give my opinion of how how my faith gives me peace, perspective, comfort, you know, and then, you know, depending how those conversations go, then you go into the things that we talked about is the past, you know, past, present, and future promises. But, you know, really just to start with is being just explaining how it has been a good in your life, I guess, is the best way you can do it.
I agree.
Right. Yeah.
Just being a role model, because again, if someone looks at you and sees that you have peace and joy in the midst of trying circumstances, they're going to wonder what you're doing, what you're taking, what you're all about. So, you know,
right. Attitude and learning how to go get through your anxiety and all that is a good example. Okay. Last one. Hank J, Jefferson, Pennsylvania. Could you talk about how you have instilled faith in your kids, as I can't get any of my boys interested in even going to church? Funny, we talked about that a little bit, but you go.
Well, you know, I think it goes back to planting seeds. It goes back to planting seeds, that all you can do is just keep planting seeds. And then one day, hopefully those things will continue to grow. I think the other thing is about when he says here, I can't get my boys interested in even going to church. Well, why do they get a choice? You know, I don't know how old your boys are, but maybe when they're young, you can insist upon it. I mean, once they become their own people, they can choose differently, but maybe you can expose them to different faiths and different churches and find one that does resonate with them.
Right. Maybe they can find even a youth group that might be something that's some way to get them involved, or even a community activity that your church might be affiliated with. You know, our church right now is doing like Mission Sundays, and a lot of what we're doing at the moment, because it's COVID, is we just go on, you know, 3-5 mile walks, and we choose a charity. And so many of our youth are coming out to do that. You know, it's a good family time. You're out walking. So, you know, anything that your church might offer that might get your children interested is a great way to start too.
And there's that, also that whole organization, which is leaving my head right now, that, you know, where youth sports is getting involved.
FCA.
Yeah.
FCA.
Which is called
Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Christian Athletes. And so athletes, right, meet before school and they sort of just get a lesson, or they have a famous sports figure come in and talk to them about how faith has changed their life. So if you have an FCA in your community, that is a great way to get both boys and girls interested in faith at a different level.
And when I was growing up, Young Life was a huge thing. I don't know, you know, how Young Life is surviving now, but that is a great organization if that's available in your area too.
All right. Well, this has been a very interesting and profound discussion. And so hopefully some people, like you said, will leave with some benefits and maybe just a thought or a new way of being. And happy Easter to everyone. And happy Easter to you, Carol.
Thank you. Happy Easter. Happy spring. Bye.
Bye. Talk to you guys soon.